God is good, amen. God is good. No, I've ever since Craig Fields guys came to our church, I got so caught up in the blood covenant. You know, I wanted to know what the power of the blood covenant, and so I spent so much time in it. I read the book over and over, The Blood and the Glory by Billy Brim. Then I read the other one, The Scarlet Thread, because that deals with the blood covenant. Then I also read David Alsobrook's book on the blood, the precious blood. You know, and I tell you this, the blood is so important in the life of the Christian. The scripture says that without shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Yeah? Isn't that powerful? And it says that they overcame him, who? The devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Isn't that powerful? Blood is so important. You know, Abel had an offering. He made an offering. And it was the fat, right? The ram or the sheep. God accepted that. Cain made an offering. It was his fruits, yeah? Fruit from his labor. God did not accept that one. Why? Because, remember in the beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, God had to kill an animal, an innocent animal, of course, and its blood covered Adam and Eve when he created or he made clothing for them. That is the law first mentioned. So from that time forth, blood must be spilled for the forgiveness of sins. Amen? Father, we just come before you, Lord, and we just thank you. Father, I have nothing to offer. Everything that I am, it's because of you, and everything that I will share, it's because of you. I'm not here for me. I'm here for you. I'm here because of you. If there's anything that's going to happen, it's going to be because of you, your precious Holy Spirit. Your word says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God, and if you be for us, then who can be against us, Lord? Thank you that the words that you give me are your words and your words only. I refuse to speak anything else. I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The more you, I found myself, I've been serving Jesus for over 30 years. And I find out that you don't really know much, you know, that you thought you knew. But when you really dig into the Word, you found how much you really don't know. It's amazing. I find out that I don't want knowledge. I want revelation knowledge. Because revelation knowledge is what causes me to grow. I remember my life as a young Christian growing up. Malachi 3, you know, the Lord said to talk concerning the tithe and offering, that there may be meat in my house, you know, to not hold back the tithe and the offering. You are cursed with the curse. And that word said that there may be meat in my house. And I said, Lord, why am I always reading this scripture? And the Holy Spirit quickened me and said, because as a tither, it's so important that we are tithers, because if you do not tithe, then there can be no meat in your house. You cannot. as a believer, eat meat. You can drink the sincere milk of the word, but guess what? There'll be no meat for you unless you tithe. I remember my first experiences as a young Christian man was God told me to go to a brother's house to minister to him. He was just going through a hard divorce, and God said, it's your time to go over to his house and minister to him. So I left the place I was at, and I lived with him. And I kept speaking and ministering the word of God to him, and he wasn't getting it. Every night I would spend time going through the scriptures with him, trying to get him to understand the scriptures. And it kept going over his head, over his head. And then I prayed in the spirit and I asked God, God, what's up with it? Why isn't he receiving? And God said, you need to tell him that he needs to tithe or you will leave. So I told him, you need to tithe. God told me you need to tithe. If you do not tithe, I'm going to leave. And guess what? The brother went to his room. He was crying. And finally, he came back to me in the room. He said, I will tithe. And guess what? As soon as he started tithing, the word of God just started. He started getting it. He started understanding it. It's like, wow, that's so awesome. God is good. That's not my message. Another thing before I get into my message, I want to share this. I do have my what my best days would be like. I have it. And I've been pondering it. And guess what? I have an old garage, a pretty big area. And a year ago, I started working on it. Well, a little over a year ago, I started working on it. But my neighbor next door said, hey, why don't you hold off so I can help? I can do it because it's one big building. So he has half of it and I have half of it. So he said, why don't we do it at the end of the year? And then we both can work on it. So, you know, you're not building your half and then my side's still old because it was really old. So what happened was 1 year went by, over a year went by, almost 2 years. But God said, just hold your peace. I said, okay. So 6 months ago, I believe, he came over and said, hey, let's start working on the house. I said, okay. So we started, not knowing there was a blessing in disguise. This young man, my neighbor now, has practically helped me put that place together. I mean, talk about God moving on your behalf. It's a one bedroom. It's pretty big, actually. And all I can say is thank you, God. Thank you, because that was on my heart for years and years. But I could never, for some reason, not get it going. But God knew when, and God knew how. And this young man has been awesome in helping me to get this job done. I mean, this job would have cost me easy $15,000 to $20,000. And I spent maybe about $5,000 right now on it. Because of this young man's help and the favor of God, it's just been a blessing. So that word, your best year, guess what? It's coming to pass. There's a lot more. And I guess what? You got to stand. And you got to fight the good fight of faith. Every day, if you remember your promise or what you so desire of God, you got to speak it. You got to say it like you mean it. You know, you got to see it. You can't just, you know, I wonder. No, don't wonder. Know your God. Amen. You got to know that God wants to bless you. That God is a good God. That word was a powerful word because of all the things that we were going through, right? Lahaina, all these things that are happening. What a timely word. I mean, your best days are ahead of you. Man, think about that. Your best days are ahead of you concerning everything going on around us today. Isn't that a powerful word? Isn't that a God word? Because of that, we hang on to the promise, right? We hang on to what God said. We're not looking around us, right? You're not looking around to the left or to the right. If you want this word to come to pass, you got to keep your eyes focused. You got to keep your eyes on the word of God, on the promises. That's the only way it's going to come to pass. That's the only way it's going to come to pass. You keeping your eyes on the author and the finisher of your faith. I spent all day before God praying in the Spirit, just like Pastor was sharing. He was all over my message. Praying in the Spirit. And I said, God, I have nothing for me. I'll not say anything. I leave it in you, in your hands. But we're going to go over some scriptures. And we're going to talk, I'm going to share a little bit about the Holy Spirit. Two things. The importance of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. I remember myself as a young man, a young born-again Christian. I got born again on my own. I used to always, not always, but I used to get into a lot of trouble. And as I was living in a house of a friend of mine, I was, how should I put it? I got freaked out. I started spacing out. I started freaking out. And my friends started tripping out on me. And they called an ambulance. And I told them, no, I don't want to go to the ambulance. I'll be okay. And the ambulance guys, the EMT said, why don't you just breathe into a bag and relax? So I started relaxing. And when everybody left, I went on the side of the corner and I said, God, I need your help. And this voice shouted loudly in my ears. And he said, you come to me now or you will be lost forever. See, all these years, all this time I was playing with God. You know, every time I needed help, call on God. And guess what? For some reason, I got out of it. But I forgot. I forgot what I vowed, what I said. If you help me out of this, I'll serve you. Finally, God said, no, not this time. You come now or you'll be lost forever. And guess what? I accepted Jesus Christ on that corner of that building, that home I was staying at. And for some reason, I just started crying and crying for no reason. I don't know why I was crying. I guess all these things that I was carrying. You know, it's so interesting because, how should I put it? Sin. As an unbeliever, we've got all this weight. Yeah, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Right? But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the wages of sin is death. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. All of a sudden, all this weights and all these things that were in me. You see, before that, I knew I was going to die. I felt it. Wages of sin is death, but I didn't know that. But I always said to myself, either now I feel like I'm going to die or I'll end up in jail. A lot of guys, you hear them, they say that before they get born again and saved. Yeah. I'm either going to die or I'm going to go to jail. It's because of the wages of sin. Wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sin's wages weighed on me. All that things that I held in because I had no Savior was in me. And it was pushing me to die, to death. When I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, guess what? Man, those weights and those things came off. And I started speaking in this beautiful language. Beautiful language. I didn't know what it was because I had no understanding of the scriptures. I was praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. But because I had no knowledge or understanding of the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in tongues, it was easy for the devil to come and say, "You're talking to me." And soon as I heard that, I freaked out and I stopped. But that experience was so beautiful. And I did not get baptized with the Holy Spirit until the time we went up to Makakilo. That's when I got filled again with the Holy Spirit. I realized what that was. I mean, what he was in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Let's turn to the 14th chapter of John. John. Let's go to John 14 and 16. I'm reading from the Amplified. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another." You heard Pastor was sharing the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, and Standby. That he may remain with you forever. Isn't that powerful? The Holy Spirit. Verse 17, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you." 26 has a little right there, verse 26 also, "But the Comforter, Counselor or Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place." See, the Holy Spirit isn't like lesser than Jesus. The Holy Spirit is God. Amen. So he is in the Godhead. So he is all powerful. He is almighty. Amen. I was reading, I believe it was in the Blood and the Glory. And the writer said that they became like God because of the Holy Spirit, which is true. We are gods. Amen. Little g's. Amen. When the Holy Spirit takes a hold of a life that is totally, I'm still working on it. You got to get the word totally committed to him. Totally committed. Yielded to him. He will do exploits through that vessel. That's what you and I are headed for and toward. You notice, we all these years since the pandemic, I know I've been shedding clothes, shedding things left and right like never before. Things that I used to do, I can't do anymore. I chose to because chose not to do. Why? Because there's a deeper level in God that I need to get to. And it's all by the Holy Spirit's doing. I can't do it. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Teacher, the Helper, he's there for me, to create in me that a vessel that pleases God. Create in me a clean heart. Create the right spirit in me, O God. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That's what David said in Psalm 139. How many times I know myself as a believer that there are sins that continually come back, and I got to fight through them. I got to pray through them. But guess what? I haven't given up. And guess what? Those things have grown weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker because I haven't stopped. Because I kept my eyes on the author and the finish of my faith and the Holy Spirit in me is empowering me by the blood of the Lamb to overcome that which is pulling me away from my God. The Holy Spirit is doing that. But the Comforter, verse 14, 26, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. Let's go to verse 15. Chapter 15, verse 26 has something also there. Book of John, chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who comes, proceeds from the Father, he himself will testify regarding me. Now let's go to John 16:7. Yes, John 16, verse 7. However, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, excellent, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. The messages we've been hearing, and it's so timely, is this, that we need to walk in the Spirit. And not only in church, but guess what? Now I got to learn to walk in the Spirit at work. I got to learn to walk in the Spirit at home. I need to walk in the Spirit if I'm outside playing sports. I always got to be walking in the Spirit. I always got to be led by the Spirit. When we talk about covenant, marriage is a covenant, right? But as Americans, we don't understand covenant. We break it so easily. But in the Hebrew culture, you break a covenant, it's subject to death. They understand covenant. Well, guess what? You and I, as believers, we have a covenant with God. God in Christ Jesus, who hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. We do not obtain the curse of the law when we sin. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Isn't that awesome? But you and I have to make a choice as believers to be led by the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. I like Pastor Craig Field's message and how he shared, you know, in the Old Testament, these guys were able to, I mean, David, man, facing Goliath, you uncircumcised Philistine. In other words, he was saying, you are a man without a covenant. I have a covenant with the living God. He was able to overcome that giant easily. Moses, in the parting of the Red Sea, God says, Moses, what do you have in your hand? Moses lifted it up, parted the Red Sea. There's nothing. I'm starting to find out, as a believer, that you and I cannot do. There's nothing we cannot do. The only thing that stops you, that stops me as a believer, is fear. That's the only thing. I remember in times past, some nights at work, I'd be walking around. You know, I work the graveyard shift, so I'm working late at night, 12 to 7 in the morning. And so there's some places that you go and you, all of a sudden, why are you getting chicken skin? It's like, what's this chicken skin? And first thing, your mind starts to go off, like, ooh, you know? And I'm like, really? So what I do to break that fear, I turn around and I walk right back into the situation. I walk right in there and I stand around and act like, oh, well, whatever, you know? But inside you're like, oh, yeah? You know, your flesh is like, what are you doing? But not the word of God in you, not the word of God in me. Hey, go back there. Face it. Okay, so I turn around, I walk up to it. And before you know it, the thing is gone. There's a lot of giants in your life. There's a lot more giants in my life too. But guess what? I'm starting to understand my relationship with God, my relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's all coming together. The blood, the word, the Holy Spirit coming together in me, the seal of my redemption, the Holy Spirit. I'm finally starting to get it. How powerful He is. How powerful I can be as a believer if I yield, if I submit. However, I'm telling you nothing but the truth. When I say it, did I read that already? However, I am telling you, verse 7, John 16. However, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Verse 8. And when he comes, this is so important, and when he comes, he will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin and about righteousness. Uprightness of heart and right standing with God and about judgment. I'll end with this. In reading the book, The Blood and the Glory, the latter chapters, Billy Brim made these what do you call these? What do you call it when someone compares the old timers, how they treated things? Well, anyway, the things that they glorified or magnified and honored was the Holy Spirit. They honored the Holy Spirit, His gifts, and everything that He was. In other words, they didn't take lightly His gifts, whether it was praying and speaking in tongues with the evidence of with interpretations or His gifts, but they honored everything that the Holy Spirit did. We need to realize, as believers, the Holy Spirit is just that. The Holy Spirit is holy, and He is in you, and He is in me. And He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness. But guess what? Who's He going to use? He can't do it. He's going to use you and I. Through our words being His words, when we yield our members to Him, our words will be His words, and conviction will come upon the world that is lost and the world that is dying. I used to wonder, the other thing that Billy Brim said was this, that the blood, they made much of the blood, the old timers. They made much of it. And when you read a scripture, this scripture, convicting the world of sin and of righteousness, we find out part of the reason why. Because blood covers sin. So when you make and speak much about the blood, the Holy Spirit responds. That is so powerful. He responds with power and demonstrations. And when He comes, He will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin. I'm going to be real with you. The blood, when men used to, when they used to cut a covenant, they used to cut the halves of an animal in half and lay it down. And that's gross, isn't it? We think about it. Cut an animal in half, open it up, and they would walk through it, walk through the blood. Sin in God's eye. And I say it earnestly, and I say it because as a believer, I need to realize how bad sin is. As believers, because of the grace message, we take for granted grace, not realize how bad sin is. The Holy Spirit in us, if we're given the way in our lives, will rid of us of all sin so that we can be a vessel of honor, not a vessel of dishonor. I say that, how should I put it, in fear? Because I've toyed, not bad sin, not gross sin, anything that Bible says, how should I put it? That which is not of faith is sin, right? So all these things, especially as you and I, who've been in the Lord for more than 20 years, I believe most of us, it's so easy to compromise or to take lightly of the things we do. But guess what? The moment we do these things, whether they're not great sins, but yet the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, you find that nudge in you. Yeah? Right? Saying, uh-oh, foul. Right? And I find myself being quick to say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I know that I'm not doing the things at, like, how should I put it? I've been God 30 years. So now, you know, there's not much sinning going on. Like I said, it's the little things, right? It's not like bad things. But anything that disrespects God or that God tells me not to do and I end up doing it is sin. Because God told me, hey, can you need to stop doing this. It's okay. You know, like maybe let's take, for instance, coffee or something. You know, if God tells you to stop doing something and you keep on doing it, then to you that is sin. Because, you know, God usually does tell us to do things like that because those things might be causing harm to our bodies. Pastor, I'm not saying anything about coffee. I'm just using that as a for instance because I love my coffee too. I hope you got something out of this. I've never enjoyed the word as much as I have in these past months. But I had to give up something. I had to finally lay it on the ground and say, God, you can have this. I shared it a year back or so, but how I love to play. I laid that down. I said, God, I'm not getting anywhere. Not where you want me to be. I know where you want me to be at, and I haven't been there. And I laid it down. Why? Because I want more. I want to see God move. I want to be able, like our pastors say, to see hands grow out. But guess what? It's going to cost. It's going to cost something. And I'm starting more and more every day to yield and say, okay, I'm willing to give that up. I'm willing to give this up. Remember Brother Lambert sharing, higher up you go, the thinner it gets, or the deeper you go, the thinner the air gets. It's true. In other words, the more higher you go in God, guess what? The deeper the consecration, the more you're going to have to give. But it doesn't mean that you're going to be left with nothing. There's more of Him. All of Him, I should say. That's what we want. We want all of Him. Not some of Him. We want all of Him. So that way, when you're walking in the room, they don't see you. They see Jesus. They see someone representing Him. Father, we do. We come before you, Lord. We bless you. We bless your holy name. I believe in my heart. I shared everything you wanted me to say. And I thank you for putting your words in my mouth. I could never do this, and I don't want to do it the way I want to do it. I want to do it always the way you want to do it. We bless you, Father. We thank you for blessing this word and cause it to rise up deep in the hearts of each and everyone here. We thank you for your spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of you. Cause the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened in our revelation of who you are, Holy Spirit, and on the precious blood of Jesus, Lord, and who we are in Christ, Lord. We just thank you. We bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.